For this homily, I'd like to actually draw back the veil, if you will, of how this homily came together. The Lord is very amusing and in a wonderfully humorous way guides the formation of every homily and every time we say yes to Him. And so for the story I'm about to tell, basically realize this is a story within a story. It is the story of how this homily came together and how the Lord works in marvelous ways when we say yes to Him. So I was praying on Saturday about this homily, and I knew I'd done research for it. Father Jim and I had talked about what the theme would be. I knew going in that we needed to, all of us, for this homily series, Breaking Free, need to name our temptation, name our wound, our burden, whatever is chaining us down. We need to name that. And then we also need to take that thing we have named, this burden, lay it before the Lord, and ask for and extend forgiveness. Very difficult thing to do. I knew that. I had prayed over the readings. It's the transfiguration of the Lord. I knew it was coming. But I'm kneeling there in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, in adoration. I'm like, Lord, I have no story, no image, no place to grasp onto for people. I knew He would send it. I said, Lord, I'll wait for your time. When you want to send it, you will send it. I get up to leave adoration, and a young man walks out of adoration with me and flags me down and says, Father, can we talk? Young man in high school, we'll call him David. And I said, sure, we can talk. And we start to have a long conversation, about half hour. And as he's telling me his story, I'm thinking, Lord, is this it? Literally within 5 minutes of my prayer, you send me this amazing young man who's telling me his story. And not only did he want to tell me his story, but he said, Father, is there some way I can tell my story to other people? Because I think it is God's power in my life that I need to share with other people. And I said, could I share it for a homily? He said, absolutely. So today, I'd like to share you, say, David's story. So David told me he has dealt with depression and anxiety for a long time. In the past year, he has tried to commit suicide a couple times, done a lot of self-harm, and just had a horrible existence in the last year. But in one of his times, the hospital, his roommate was a young man, we'll call him Jonathan, in high school as well. And as Dave was talking about Jonathan, he said, I love this line. He said, in Jonathan, I saw Jesus in an extremely profound way that I've never seen in any one of my peers. And come to find out, Jonathan didn't even know about Jesus, wasn't baptized, wasn't a believer. And yet, David said, he encouraged me. Talk to me about perseverance, that life is worth living, to continue on with life. But Jonathan's story is a tragic one. This young man in high school has been to prison 7 times. He grew up in a very destructive household. His parents were very unkind to him. And it is from that upbringing that so many of his decisions sprung forth. And as they were talking, sharing their stories, David started to share about his encounter with Jesus. He started to tell him about who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, that God came to this earth out of love for him, that he died for him, and that love was so powerful that he rose again, and that he loves him still. And at the end of the day, they were together about a week. They started to pray the St. Michael prayer, the prayer we pray after Mass. And they started to list at the end of the day all the things they were grateful for in their life as a final prayer of the day. These two young men sharing with one another their faith, seeing Jesus in one another, being Jesus to one another, even without realizing it. And David walked away from this conversation. Wonderful line he said to me. He said, Father, my desire to help people, to comfort others, is greater than my desire to cut myself or to commit suicide. My friends, what a testament to the power of Jesus in someone's life. And for the duration of this homily, I'd like to say a couple reflections, a couple thoughts on this story. For I feel like this young man's testimony was given to me to share with all of you, to give all of us hope as we continue on with our Lenten journey to break free of whatever the Lord wants to break us free from, the things that burden us. So first, the wounds we receive in life can often be the causes of much of our destructive or sinful behavior. The wounds we receive in life can be the causes of much of our destructive or sinful behavior. Just think about Jonathan, his upbringing, and imagine what he endured in his early life, and how perhaps some of those wounds he carries from his parents, from the things he saw and experienced in his childhood, were the things that gave him a push to go on a certain path, that perhaps he has hurt many people in his own life because he was hurt. Remember Father Jim's line he mentioned in our first week of this homily series, hurt people hurt people. And this young man is very hurt. And perhaps it is those wounds that started a chain that hurt many others. Now, we don't want to judge this young man, and I want to stress, I'm only speculating. But I know it is true that so many people hurt others and enter into destructive behaviors, addictions, because of the hurts in their own lives, the wounds they were dealt from other people. So our first question for this weekend is this. What are the significant injuries in your life? Loss, hurt, humiliation, fear, violence, etc. What are the significant injuries in your life? These are the injuries. These injuries are the places the Lord wants to heal. The Lord wants to release us from the bondage of these places, these chains. Find that place in your mind and heart right now. And be ready to surrender it to the Lord when He asks you. Second point of reflection, hope in despair. Our gospel today, the Transfiguration of Jesus, is all about hope in despair, hope on the other side of suffering. David and Jonathan were sent, I think, by God to one another, to strengthen one another to get through their mutual suffering. They needed one another, and God used them to show His love to each other. As David said, Jonathan, though not a believer, was Jesus to him, encouraged him, gave him the strength to see that there was light at the end of the tunnel. In a similar way, Jesus brings His closest friends, Peter, James, and John, onto a high mountain and is transfigured, or shows His glory as God to them. And the whole reason He does this is to show them, in a few days, I will suffer immensely. I will be scourged and put to death on a cross. But that is not the end of the story, my story. Do not be scandalized. Do not have your faith in me shaken by what you will experience soon. The Transfiguration prepares them for the suffering they will endure. My friends, this weekend, in light of this Transfiguration, recognizing that there is hope at the end of suffering, we need to be reassured, if we are to lift up our injuries to the Lord, that He indeed can heal them, that there can be a renewal, a resurrection, if you will, for each of us, if we have the courage to lay down our burdens before Jesus. So if our first question is, what are the significant injuries in your life? Our second question can be this. Have you forgiven the people involved in those events? Have you forgiven the people involved in those injuries? If we are to face the injuries of our lives and receive and offer forgiveness for them, we must have hope of healing, renewal, and a resurrection, a future in our lives. Forgiveness is hard, really, really hard, both to receive and especially to give, to offer to somebody else. And yet holding on to unforgiveness, resentment, is like drinking poison and thinking the other person is going to die. Resentment, unforgiveness burdens us, keeps us chained in. And my friends, our Lord wants to set us free from those places. Have we forgiven those who have injured us? Forgiveness is a choice, not an emotion. It's something we make a choice to do. And we need to lift up those people to the Lord, to ask, give me the help I need, Lord, to forgive those people in my lives who have deeply hurt me and show me that healing and renewal is possible in you. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks of his death and resurrection as a new exodus, referring to the exodus of the Israelites in Egypt. What happened in that event? The Israelites were enslaved and were brought into a place of freedom. My friends, the death and resurrection of Jesus is a new exodus that he invites us to share with him. We are slaves often of unforgiveness and resentment, things we hold on to, injuries that we bear. Jesus says, come into this new exodus. I am going to cross through the Red Sea of your pain and set you free. Allow him to take away these injuries, to heal you, and let go of your unforgiveness. Third point, Jesus is the one who goes first. First in forgiveness, first in vulnerability, first in freedom. Jesus is the one who goes first. So often we are so scared to go first, to take a step out, especially with something as scary as forgiveness. And yet, if we look at Jesus from the cross, after he has been scourged and beaten, a crown of thorns placed on his head, after he has been mocked, this who is the Son of God, his hands nailed to a tree, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has the strength to forgive when we do not. And if we need strength to forgive those who have injured us, we just ask him, allow me to have your forgiveness, because I can't do it on my own. Jesus is also first in vulnerability. You know, for us, we speak in this homily series and so often of our injuries as wounds. They may not be physical, although sometimes they are, but just use that imagery. They are wounds, cuts that we may carry in our life, lacerations, things, places that bleed. And we may think, I do not want to show this. I will keep this covered up. Let's cast our minds back to after the resurrection. The disciples, some of them doubt that Jesus is truly risen. And Thomas, who is all of us, says, I will not believe until I see and place my finger in the wounds in his hands and place my hand into his side, his wounded side. Couldn't that be all of us saying, I will not reveal my burdens, my wounds, these places that hurt and still bleed, until Jesus, you reveal those places where you have bled. And Jesus, our amazing Savior, puts out his hands and says, put your finger here into these wounds. Place your hand into my side. I go first, and I am healed of these things so that you can also be healed. Jesus goes first in freedom. My friends, there's a marvelous passage, marvelous line in the book of Revelation where Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. Our suffering, our wounds, our pain, our injuries, the things we want to be freed from, the things that the Lord wants to bring us into this new exodus, the Lord says, I will make all things new. and his resurrection, the sending of his Holy Spirit into our lives, the example of the saints down throughout the ages, and in his grace, our own lives display that he can indeed make all things new. We see in his life the promise of something new and magnificent awaiting us all. If we would forgive, if we would be vulnerable with the places in our lives that truly hurt. Lastly, our fourth point, ask Jesus for help. He will send you help just like he sent David to meet Jonathan. You know, at the end of their week together, after David had explained the faith to Jonathan, after he had proclaimed who Jesus was, how much God loves him and died for him and he rose again for him, and after they had prayed the St. Michael prayer and had these litanies of gratitude at the end of the day, Jonathan said, "I want what you have. Is there any way I can be baptized?" How amazing is that? After merely a week together, a young man in high school just says, "I want Jesus. I want to be baptized." Those two young men came together through God. My friends, their story is sent to us to inspire us that God will send us the help we need to lift up our injuries, lift up what burdens us to the Lord, and to be set free of whatever wounds us. So our last questions of the day can be this. If forgiving seems impossible, are you willing to believe that God can help you? If forgiving seems impossible, are you willing to believe that God can help you? If you can't be willing, can you at least ask God to work in your heart and make you willing? My friends, Jesus entered into a new exodus on the cross and his resurrection to bring us into a new freedom. Not just a freedom for the church, for some global mission, but for individuals, you and me. He promises us for us. Allow him to bring you into that new sense, that new reality of freedom. How marvelous will it be to be set free from whatever burdens us, that we may participate with him in joy, participate with him in freedom, and to be sent out like David and Jonathan to be Jesus to one another, that we may bring everyone to the freedom and love of our Lord Jesus Christ.